Welcome to the 4th of July holiday weekend on WCRI, featuring the Chorus of Westerly. We invite you to revel in the sounds of summer with us as we celebrate a slice of Americana right here in our own backyard. Today you will hear special interviews from this year's Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops concert at Wilcox Park, with musicians and key people that helped make the 35th annual Summer Pops possible. Among the interviews, you'll enjoy music performed at the George Kent Performance Hall, as the chorus prepared for this great event. This special Independence Weekend on WCRI, featuring the Chorus of Westerly, is brought to you locally by South County Hospital, Feet First, A&B Family Appliance, Zero Wampum, Warehouse Beer, Wine, Liquor, All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control, Providence Performing Arts Center featuring Garrison Keillors, A Prairie Home Companion, The America the Beautiful Tour, one night only, August 7th. And, of course, our friends at the Chorus of Westerly. Now, here is your host, Jamie Jones.
Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. I'm so happy you could join us this weekend for this very special program. Many of you are very familiar with the Chorus of Westerly and the unique brand of entertainment they bring to this area. Since 1959, the Chorus of Westerly, a non-profit performing arts organization, has offered music and arts programming of the highest quality. We'll take a small peek into this, their 35th season of the Summer Pops, to see what it takes to put on a performance of this magnitude, and we'll hear some wonderful music from the chorus as they prepared for the Summer Pops at the George Kent Performance Hall in Westerly. Now, without any further delay, let me hand it over to music director Andrew Howell to get us started.
We're now going to hear our national anthem.
When I attended the Chorus of Westerly's Summer Pops at Wilcox Park, I sat down with Daniel Spano. He books the pre-show each year, and he runs the Bucket Brigade, which is the big fundraiser for the Chorus of Westerly.
I do the fundraising for the Bucket Brigade here in the park every year.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And what does the Bucket Brigade do?
Well, what we do is after the pre-show is over, we talk to the audience a little bit about all the good things that are happening with the chorus. And then we send our volunteers out into the audience with yellow buckets and gold balloons to collect money to help support this event. And this year, we're lucky in that we have a donor who has agreed to match all the donations that are made this year in the park. So
wow, that's
we're
excellent.
Very excited about
it. Now, you handle the pre-show as well. How do you pick the acts for the pre-show?
We have four acts this year. The first one is the Westerly Morris Men, which they play every year. We really don't have to do a lot with them. They just show up and everything is good. Also coming back this year is Happy in the Moonshine, who have played the last few years, and they're a local duo here in Westerly. The Franklin brothers, Jay and Carl Franklin, who are former chorus members themselves, will be performing again this year. So Happy in the Moonshine and the Franklin brothers have played the last few years. Of course, the Morris Men come every year. This year, we do have a new opener, which I'm very excited about. Is a young lady who just graduated from Stonington High School. Her name is Emmy Vernett. I was at a VFW veterans function a few weeks ago in Pawcatuck, and she was entertaining the crowd, and I heard her do a version of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't believe it. She was fantastic. So I went up to her and got her information, and then had a chance to listen to her website, and then called her up and met with her and her parents, and they live in Mystic, and we decided to have her be the opening act this year.
That's
so
excellent. That's great.
Hopefully, if all goes well and the rain holds, you know, at least we all have our fingers crossed here that everything is going to go well. She is going to be the first act this year, and I'm very excited. She's very talented.
Now, how many years have you been with the Chorus of Westerly Pops?
Since the beginning, and over time, I've sang with the chorus, and in the last 10 years or so, I've been more on the fundraising side and booking acts for the pre-show and other things that the chorus needs. So
that's excellent.
Very exciting.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and we're glad to watch the show, and we thank you for being on.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Now, as many of you know, this year's Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops was supposed to go off on Saturday. There was some slight rain delay, and then the show had to be postponed until Sunday evening. On Sunday evening, they did a 45-minute performance, and then the fireworks. So it was a little bit different of a performance than they are used to, but it gave me some good quality time to sit down with some of the members of the chorus and ask them about their experiences. Like Amy Blanchett, former child member, current member and former board member of the Chorus of Westerly. I talked to Amy about her experience with the chorus, as well as the program set up for the children here at the Chorus of Westerly, which really teaches the kids how to become musicians. We are here with Amy. She is a longtime chorus member with the Chorus of Westerly. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
And how long have you been with the chorus?
I've been singing since 1985 when I turned 8.
Oh, when you turned 8. So you were one of the children. I read that in the notes about the chorus, that a lot of the performers are children who come up through the ranks, and it says they have a rigorous, you know, training for them so that they can keep up with the adults.
Oh, yes, yes. I joined when I was 8. Both of my parents were singers, and it was an event I had looked forward to for a very long time. I was probably convinced around the age of 5 that I was ready, and luckily wiser heads prevailed, and so I waited till I was 8.
Like, oh, that's cool. That's very cool. Now, you were also on the board with the Chorus of Westerly, is what you told me.
Yes,
now,
I
how
was.
Long did you do the board for?
Oh, a very long time. I did a board term when I was around 23, a 3-year board term, and then I got back on the board, oh gosh, I think around when I turned 30. So probably around a total of 10 years board service.
Oh, good.
That's I was recording good. Secretary for about 6 years.
Oh, wow. I've been a secretary.
It was intense. And a lot of things happened in those 6 years. It wasn't just any 6 years. I think we had hired at least one executive director. We had our transition, founder transition, which is what they call it in the arts world, when the person who founded your organization steps down and goes off to a well-deserved retirement.
Yes, absolutely.
And so there was quite a lot packed into those 6 years.
You've done pops every year with the chorus?
The only year I've missed was in 2001 when I was in graduate school.
You're excused.
I know.
Okay.
Well, it was barely excused, trust me, because I remember telling George Kent, and he said, what? They've got to let you off a day for grad school. And I'm like, yeah, that's not really. I can't sign out of grad school for the day. But.
So let me ask you, do you have a memorable experience or favorite year for the pops concert? Maybe a favorite performer, favorite performance you did?
Oh my gosh. I've heard some amazing things that the chorus has achieved. We have a particular chart that we, a Gershwin medley chart that we did a couple times that was always really amazing. A lot of work to get put together.
Yeah, is that a chorus favorite that they...
I don't know if everyone thinks it's the favorite. I really like it. It's a rental chart, so we don't do it quite as often, that's a really good one.
That's what makes it special, though.
Absolutely, and I've heard amazing performances by Kevin Short, who sung with us in our classical concerts, Carmen Pelton, who sung with us in our classical concerts, Paula Rockwell. It can be a wonderful time to hear some of our classical soloists sing some different things, some Broadway standards, some classic tunes from the American Songbook, and so those moments are also really special.
And the audience must be great.
Oh, absolutely.
To see.
Every year, I mean, the best moments are really, you know, when we do the Armed Forces Salute, and we always do the Armed Forces Salute early on in the program so it's still light, and it used to be George Kent, and now Andrew, will invite anybody who is serving or has served in those branches of the military to stand when their song,
very
and
cool.
it always kills me every time.
Yeah.
It kills me every time. You know, every year I always think to myself, this is how the national anthem should be.
Right,
at the end
right.
of the concert, and you can see the people in the front row singing, and you can hear the whole park singing. And I just think every single time our national anthem is sung, this is how it should be.
That's perfect. Well, Amy, we thank you for being here.
You are very welcome.
And enjoy the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Before we hear another interview with a member of the chorus, let's jump into another piece of music. This is Evening Hymn by H. Balfour Gardner by the Chorus of Westerly with music director Andrew Howell.
And we're back. We're here with Michael, who used to be a chorus member, but is now with one of the pre-show acts, very popular one, Happy in the Moonshine Band.
That's correct.
And how long were you with the chorus?
Oh, with the chorus, let's see, from the time I was 8 years old till 18, I'm 31 now.
Oh, really?
And then, you know, I went away to college, and now I'm still affiliated with them. I do a bunch of events with them. We did a dueling piano show for them this year.
Oh, excellent.
But our schedules conflict on weekends,
so
now I'm just an avid supporter.
Now, how long have you been with Happy in the Moonshine Band?
Happy in the Moonshine has been 5 years.
5 years? But have you done the show all 5 years in the pre-show?
No, we've Happy in the Moonshine has done this 2 years, and I've played for three.
Solo. Oh, that's cool. Cool. Now, I'll let you plug Happy in the Moonshine Band.
Sure.
Do you guys have a website or anything?
We do. HappyInTheMoonshine.com, and you can find us on Facebook just by typing in Happy in the Moonshine.
That's great. You can see where they're going to be and what they've done.
Right.
Now, do you have a favorite performance you've done? You've done many years with a chorus and then with Happy in the Moonshine. Do you have a favorite experience that you've had?
I mean, every performance is different, but playing at the Summer Pops is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you're opening up for an unbelievable organization with an orchestra.
Right.
And it's totally different than any other type of show that we do. And you get a massive crowd.
Right. And then most of the time you only see things like this in cities like a Boston or Providence or whatnot. So it's great to see it here in local Westerly, Rhode Island.
That's great. Yeah, this is an unbelievable organization for kids too that come up.
Yeah.
When I ended up going to school, I went up to Berkeley. When I went to school, I had already known so much of the stuff from the theory classes from when I was 8 or 9 from George Kent at the time. And now Andrew Howell's expanded on that.
Because like we were talking about with Amy, the children who are in the chorus at a young age, they have chorus camp and they have programs where they teach them theory and other things. They don't just hand them a piece of music and stand up there and say, sing.
Right. And I teach piano during the day. And what I found is really interesting is the students I have from the chorus are always my best students because they're submerged in music and other parts of their life.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, in Happy in the Moonshine, do you play an instrument?
I play piano and organ primarily. I also have a guitar. Unfamiliar, that looks like a guitar but plays like a keyboard.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool. Well, we thank you for being here, Michael. And
thank you.
Thanks for being here for the interview and enjoy the show. Good luck.
I just wanted to thank you for joining us for this very special 4th of July on WCRI featuring the Chorus of Westerly program. We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors for making this show possible. Feet First in Zero Wampum of Wakefield, Providence Performing Arts Center, South County Hospital, A&B Family Appliances of Wakefield, All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control, Wakefield, and Warehouse Beer, Wine, and Liquor in Westerly. We just heard from Michael Chicoria of Happy in the Moonshine Band and former Chorus of Westerly member. We're now going to hear my interview with Doug Rayner, chairman of the Summer Pops. Doug has been around for quite some time with the chorus, and he has some insight on how the chorus began the Summer Pops. Hello, we are here with Doug Rayner. Doug is the longtime chairman of Chorus Westerly Summer Pops. Now, you had just told me you've been here since 1983, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say your wife was involved with the chorus at one time?
She still is. She was one of the leaders of the first one, which occurred in 1981. It was the send-off of the chorus on their first international tour to England, of which the community had been very helpful in making it possible, and the chorus decided to thank the community in the only way they knew how, and that was through music. So we put on a concert on the post office steps in the middle of town, thinking that maybe 200 or 300 people might show up.
Right.
And 3,000 or 4,000 showed up and sat down in the middle of the state highway and listened to music all night, and that was extremely successful. We did not plan to do it again. I would say by the fall of that year, people were beginning to ask when the next one was scheduled, and the answer was, well, there is no next one. And the reply was, well, there has to be. So, well, lo and behold, the next year another one happened on the post office steps. And not too long after that, in 1983, we came into the park, Wilcox Park, which is a private park owned by the Memorial and Library Association.
Right.
It's not a municipal park. It's an absolutely bucolic scene and a wonderful place, and we've been here ever since.
It beats the post office steps,
Chris. It beats the post office steps, not only in safety and so forth, but everything else. It's just a grand place to have a great concert.
And so you've been here to be able to see it grow from the very beginning of, almost 25,000 people or more who come to see this performance in a place like Westerly, which I was talking to Michael prior to you about how wonderful it is to see something like this in a small, rural, area where you normally see it in a city like Providence or Boston.
Well, yeah, I think it's It's typical of Westerly. It's a great place to live. There used to be a slogan in town by the railroad station that said, Westerly, a great place to live, work, and play, and it still is.
Right, right.
We have people involved in this thing from way out of town who continue to tell us how unusual it is and how lucky we are, and I think we all agree with that.
Right. Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate you being here, and enjoy the show.
Thank you very much. I hope you guys have a good time.
Once again, let me send it back to Andrew Howell, music director of the Chorus of Westerly, as the chorus gets us in the mood for this great 4th of July weekend with a patriotic salute.
We're now going to hear the George M. Cohan Salute, arranged by Ralph Herman.
We are now here with Ryan Saunders, Executive Director, and I just want to ask you a little bit about when you started with the chorus and what you're doing now to get ready for the chorus of Westerly Pops.
Well, I've been involved with the chorus in some shape or form since I was 7 years old. I sang in the chorus as a child, and I joined in 1986, and I sang for 10 years until I graduated from high school, from Stonington High School across the river here. And my role then was just a singer. I was a little kid, you know, I was one of those little kids in the front row causing some trouble. And then I stayed during college and after college when I wasn't here in town, I stayed helping out the group by volunteering up at their camp every summer. And
right.
Just right about 6 years ago now, I was hired as executive director of the chorus, having worked at Tufts University prior to that. And this is my technically my seventh Summer Pops as executive director. The first one I worked, which also there was a little weather involved with it. I had just been hired. I hadn't actually been paid yet, but I helped them with some crazy weather moving things around. And
right. Have you ever had to postpone it to the next day?
Yeah, we've had to postpone it to the next day several times. I mean, this is the 35th one, and about a quarter of the time we've had some sort of weather delay or issue. It's gone to, I can't tell you off the top of my head how many exactly times it's gone to Sunday, but it's been to Monday night, which is our second rain date,
right.
Twice. Two or three times, I think. So it does happen. I mean, it's New England, it's summer, and you get pop-up showers that could last for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or 2 hours,
right.
It could be beautiful at 3 and then raining at 6 and beautiful again at 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, it's just part of the, when you have an outdoor concert, it's just part of the game.
Now, you were here. I want to ask about one thing in particular, the crossover between George Kent.
Yep.
To Andrew.
Yeah.
And was that difficult, or was it a smooth process?
It was a smooth, well, with the two guys, it was a smooth process. I mean, it was, yeah, I worked the last 3 years with George in his tenure,
right,
and the first
right.
three now with Andrew. Well, there was certainly a lot of work as we made the transition in terms of the search when we hired Andrew and things like that, but relatively it's been quite smooth. I mean, I guess in terms of chorus history, I'll always have a distinct place of having worked with both of these guys as executive director. And that's really neat. You know, Andrew and George both made the transition very easy for me. I mean, you know, when George stepped down, he doesn't meddle or anything. He's not hovering in the back of the rehearsal room or anything.
Right.
He comes to absolutely every concert and event we have, and we're
that's
glad
excellent.
He does. But he's given Andrew quite a wide berth musically. I mean, he's moved into his emeritus role very well. And Andrew is, Andrew is such a great, nice guy and so easy to work with. But it's been a great joy working with both men, and the last 3 years with Andrew have been quite a trip and quite a ride.
That's awesome. Now, my other question to you is music selection for a performance of this magnitude.
Yep.
Now, do you start that right at the beginning of the year, or is it, you know...
For Summer Pops, I mean, Andrew probably looks at the music of what he's going to do for Pops, about a year out, and thinks about it, and he's making his decisions up until about 3 or 4 months out for Summer Pops. But for a chorus season, we look over a 2 to 3 year arc, and there's a lot of actually thought and care that goes into it in terms of what types of music we're doing, what are our organizational goals with it, and we look a lot about what type of music the children in particular are going to get to sing, because we try to not just have a good broad spectrum of music for our audiences, which is very important, but also for the singers themselves and the kids. So it's critically important that we really do think about what we're doing and why. And there's also financial aspects to it. When you're working with fully professional symphony orchestras all the time,
right?
You know, you can't do Mahler every year or something
right.
that. You know, you have to plan smartly and make sure it fits in with your fundraising goals and objectives and realities too.
Now, one of the things, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, is the children that are in the chorus. Now, some people think, like with other choruses, they just put kids in, they take the music and they sing it, and they look cute up front. That's not the way it goes with the chorus of Western.
Not at all.
They are so well trained. You guys have camps. You make sure, and as we talked to a lot of people here and yourself, you grew up with a chorus.
Yes.
So, and you continue with a chorus. So tell me how you think that is a big, important part of what the chorus Westerly does.
Well, that is really what makes us so special and so unique. And that's giving the kids the opportunity to do things they wouldn't ever have a chance to do, or wouldn't typically have a chance to do, particularly in a New England town with 23,000 people. You know?
Right.
This isn't Providence, Boston, New York. You know, it's not even a European town where you see this very prominently. You know, the founding mission of the organization was to give this community an organization that would do the big works, but give kids that part too. And George had Kent had a particular belief in the ability of children to do more than they were asked.
Right.
And so we work them very hard, and you know, they rehearse more actually than the adult singers do, and they get a lot of training and preparation time, but they're held to that same high standard. And when they're in the performance, they're equal. You know, the 30-year veteran singer is equal to the singer who's been there for two or three, who's a kid. But I think what that gives for children going through it is it gives them a sense of not just hard work, but accomplishment and achievement, a belief that you can do something very special. It's, you know, singing, choral singing, or even being in music is a lot, at least with a chorus, it's a lot like it's a lot like a sport in many ways.
Right.
And, you know, everyone is equal, or team sport. And everyone is equally important inside of the ensemble and with a singular objective and goal. If the kids leave here and they can get involved with the arts or music at a professional level or make it their career, that's wonderful. I mean, you know, we've got our music director, Andrew Howell, who had that career path, John Tafone, who helped arrange a piece, Michael Chicoria, who is not too far from me right now, who went on that path. I mean, the list is pretty endless, but, you know, for all of the 1,500 or 1,600 or so kids that have gone through it, probably less than 100 of them have had some sort of arts in their career path. But the great thing about music and about singing in particular is it's something you can do and bring with you your entire life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can add that color to your life when you are 15 or when you're 65. So we look back with a lot of pride when one of our kids leaves here and they go into a music or arts career particularly. But, you know, even if they don't, if they go out into life and they're happy and they're finding joy and wonder in other ways, and maybe if we had a small part of that, the teamwork, the camaraderie, the friendships, the just being kind to people, the value in community.
And they appreciate the arts.
Yeah, and an appreciation for the arts, an appreciation for its continuation.
Right.
And the value of it. It's very easy these days to dismiss that value.
Now, the ages in the course span from the youngest being?
The youngest, they can join just around 8 years old.
Eight years old.
And then the oldest course member right now, I believe, is 83.
83. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So they can. So the spectrum of singers is very broad, and that's, I think, also a very important thing too. When you've got, in some cases, three generations of singers actually singing, you don't find, there's maybe one other chorus in the country that does something like this, which is sort of modeled after us, and others come and go, but this one is sustained. You know, we're moving towards our 57th season. There's been 35 of these summer pops. You know, I like to joke that there's 35 pops and I'm 36 years old. And Dr. Rayner, Doug Rayner, who's been our summer pops chairman for three decades, he's a retired OBGYN. He actually delivered me.
So
you talk about, and he grew up on Cortland Street in Pawcatuck across the river in Connecticut. And I grew up on William Street, the street that borders it.
Wow.
So there's a very wide, you know, like you look at the story of how it spans. And, you know, I look forward to when I'm in my 70s and 80s being driving around in a golf cart and hopefully still running things. Maybe not worrying about the rain quite
as
much.
That's true.
Yeah, the formula seems to work.
It's
an expensive event to produce, and it can cost us, if there's weather, it could cost us more, but it can cost us anywhere from $85,000 to $100,000, depending on delays, to produce it.
And on that note, Chorus of Westerly is a nonprofit, and you can donate to the Chorus of Westerly.
You certainly can.
Like
the
well.
Chorus, yeah, Summer Pops is an activity of the Chorus of
Correct.
Westerly fully. And we're a 501c3, so we're a charitable organization. So donations to us are tax deductible. You know, in a given year, the Chorus is about $750,000 organization.
Right.
And about 70% of that, the funds that come in to do that, are contributed from lots of individuals and businesses and corporations and foundations. But Pops alone, we're very reliant. I mean, there's no ticket charge for Summer Pops.
Right.
So we have to, when we do concerts in the hall, that our regular performance season, tickets can account for some of that, but they can't account for all of that. But in this case, there's no one at the gate out there.
Right.
And we've resisted the call for years. People like, you can pay for this concert by charging, but that completely changes the nature of what we're doing here.
Yeah, it does.
And you know, the reason I think it's so important to keep it that way is for many people who are involved in something like this, this might be their only exposure ever to a symphony orchestra or a symphonic chorus. It might be their only time they ever see this type of art.
Right.
And if we can bring it to them, that's wonderful. And if they just come, people say, oh, they just come sometimes for the fireworks and to be together. Fine. Because the other thing that's great about this is Westerly and Greater Westerly, being Stonington and the areas all around us and all the way up into Rhode Island and Connecticut, they have made us go as a community organization for many years. And if what they get out of Summer Pops is just being together in the park in terms of having some fellowship together, right, and that makes their life better and it's not the music, then so be it.
Right.
And that's a wonderfully important thing.
And I have one last question before we let you go. Do you have a favorite memory of one of the Pops concerts that you've been at?
I remember the concert in 2009, which was, the night was a lot like this one. And it was a beautiful morning, or it was an acceptable morning.
Right.
And then in the afternoon, we were I had just been hired as executive director of the chorus, and I was very proud. And there were stories about me in the newspaper. My grandmothers were all proud and everything. And I had just intended to be, I was told to come to Pop so I could be introduced on the stage.
Right.
I didn't realize that I had to go to work. Doug Rayner was running everything, and we didn't have an executive director working at the point. Deborah Dunham, who was our president at the time, was filling in as interim executive director, but that's way more work than a volunteer should ever do. The memory of this is that it did start to rain right before orchestra rehearsal, so we moved rehearsal to the hall, but we looked and saw that we had a window in there and wondered, could we run the pre-show, start the pre-show a little bit earlier, run the pre-show in the park, and run orchestra rehearsal at the same time, and then could we start the concert 15 or 20 minutes early? And the reason this is such a funny memory to me was, that was a suggestion I made looking at the weather radar. Like, if we start this thing at 7:45, we might get done at 9:15, and the rain's going to start again at 9:30, and we can get this thing done.
Right.
And I mentioned it to Doug Rayner, and he said, yeah, all right. So we walked over to George Kent. I'm thinking, oh, he's never going to go for this. And he said, well, who do we have to ask about that? I said, I think we just have to ask ourselves. Well, why the heck not? I was like, I don't know. Why the heck not? Let's do this. So we slid everything up by 15 minutes, and it was amazing because as the pre-show was happening, we were loading trucks and things were happening, and the concert started at 7:45 and it ended at 9:15, and I'm not kidding, at 9:25 it poured.
Wow.
So but that's such a memory to me because it was so chaotic. To be frank, I didn't expect to work, and I was working, and I started to become very stressed. But at the end of it, I have to tell you, sometimes I guess when you have events like that, those are the best stories later. It was so triumphant at that moment, and I was just there to just come up on stage and say hi, and it turned into one of the craziest arts management events of my entire career.
That's an awesome
story. It was the first time I got to run a concert with George Kent, and standing next to him at that point in time, realizing I had the clout and authority to start a Summer Pops concert 15 minutes early, and
you
I was
Nostradamus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but just actually that people were relying on me to make that decision, it was really cool. But that's why it's a favorite memory, because it looked like it was going to be a total disaster of an evening, and it turned out to be one of the best Pops we ever had.
That's awesome.
And that's the chorus of Westerly too. Sometimes when things look pretty rough, or even putting the piece of music together, you wonder how they're going to pull it off. Somehow, by the grace of God, they do. And I think that comes back to everyone being a part of it. When you've got so many wonderful volunteers and the singers and everyone who really believe in what we're doing and working so hard, that good things happen when people like that are all working
it's
together.
Too much,
so.
Too many people thinking positively for it to fail.
Right. And if it, you know, the worst situation in any event is it rains out or it fails. And, you know, so we have to raise a little bit more money. So we'll do it. You know, that's, but the fact is, here we are doing this for the 35th time. And that in itself is a little bit miraculous.
Right.
And when you look at other communities where stuff like this just doesn't happen anymore, it used to, but it doesn't anymore. And, you know, I look forward to being here and happy to talk with you guys at the 40th and the 45th and the 50th. I probably won't be executive director at the 50th. But
thanks for having us.
No problem.
Thanks for interviewing with us.
Thank you for all of your support of the Chorus of Westerly for many years.
Thanks, Ryan.
Once again, music director of the Chorus of Westerly, Andrew Howell.
This is an arrangement of Eternal Father Strong to Save, arranged by Dan Forrest. Thank you.
And in my final interview of the program, I spoke with Andrew Howell, music director of the Chorus of Westerly. Let's take a listen to that and then get back to some music on this very special program, The 4th of July on WCRI, featuring the Chorus of Westerly. I am here with Andrew Howell, music director of the Chorus of Westerly, and we're here to talk to Andrew a little bit about the Chorus of Westerly itself, along with the Pops concert. My first question is how you got started with the Pops, and also the transition from George Kent being a longtime music director to yourself, which happened a few years back, but I know our audience will be interested to hear that.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me. In terms of starting with the Summer Pops, my first Summer Pops concert was actually as a treble, a young boy singer in 1996 with the Chorus of Westerly. So I started singing just the summer before when the chorus came back from their final England tour in 1995. And, you know, I went up to camp and started off singing in the season, turned 13 that year, and then finished off the year with my first Pops concert, which really is an unbelievable experience for a little kid to get up in front of, you know, 20,000 people. It's terrifying, but also incredibly exciting. And you get, you know, the 1812 at the end and the fireworks and all of this. It's such an incredible night that we get to put on for the town. This is now my third year doing it as music director. So the transition from George Kent to myself was just 3 years ago. And, you know, as would be expected for a person who had been in the position for 53 years, the founding music director, everyone reminded me what giant shoes I had to fill. And that was nice of them, but I'm glad that that has mostly subsided now. It was a pretty good, I mean, smooth transition as I had sung in the chorus, so I knew what to expect. I knew, you know, everything that was happening in a season, from the oddities of Twelfth Night and the fantastic show that is, to Summer Pops and what a wonderful tradition that was for the town. So I was able to step into it at least with a lot of background and know what, you know, what was expected of me for the most part. So I've tried to basically just continue on the legacy that George had started, and try and throw in some new stuff whenever possible, do some old favorites. You know, I have kind of a format every year that I use for picking music for the show, so that we try and hit on everything to make a crowd pleaser of a concert.
We talked a lot about this with Ryan and some of the other guests that we had on the show. Is the one thing that I think is great with the Chorus of Westerly is the youth program you have here. If you can tell me a little bit about how that works and how it helps the chorus in the long run.
Sure. So that really is an evolving process right now. Many of us who are currently basically running the organization, Ryan Saunders, executive director, and myself, as well as many of our board members and kind of people who are incredibly involved, our top level volunteers, I guess, grew up in the organization. So we all have that under our belt of having grown up through this incredible, you know, way of life. Essentially, you get to come in at 8 years old as the youngest singers that we have, and basically perform all of these incredible masterworks as well as these giant orchestral Pops concerts. You know, part of it is trial by fire, but part of it is also that we really build up their musical abilities right from the beginning. One of the things that I've been trying very hard to do is to really formalize that early education. So our youngest children coming in at 8 years old are in a group called the Training Choristers. And they don't sing everything on the season right now, but they do the Pops concert and whatever other extra concerts we have in there. And they are basically spending a lot of their time learning how to know what's on the page, so that when they open a piece of music like the Verdi Requiem, they can follow it, and, you know, it doesn't matter if it's upside down or right side up, you know, like they do actually know what they're looking at. So we give them that training right from the beginning, and then we have a tiered level after that where kids can kind of move through the system. And we have a fantastic music education director right now whose name is Audrey Cardney from the University of Rhode Island, who has been doing incredible work with the kids. And so basically our goal is to get these kids to be independent and, you know, self-sufficient musicians, so that when they leave here, they can go off and do whatever they want. They could have a career in music, or they could just sing for the rest of their life. And, you know, but we want to give them that grounding from an early age. And they're totally capable of doing it. It's incredible what the kids are able to do when you ask them to do it and hold them to that expectation.
A concert like the Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops, how much preparation goes into
getting ready for the concert? Like, do you start now for next year with ideas and music and preparation? I'm sure our listeners are interested to hear.
Yeah, I mean, the preparation really begins now. I mean, as soon as one concert is over, we start thinking about the next one. We kind of decompress on what happened and how we can make things better for next year. On the musical side, summertime is usually when I do most of my planning and preparation. I've got the big masterworks planned for next year, but in terms of the Christmas pops and summer pops music, now is where I'll dig in and figure all of that stuff out. So that preparation begins right away. In terms of the actual chorus side of it, sometimes we'll do a little bit of rehearsal for the summer pops music in advance of the May concert, like in that spring stretch. But often it is just kind of loaded in after we do the May concert. We've got 5 or 6 weeks and we prep all the music for summer pops.
You've been with the chorus for quite some time, not just as the music director, but altogether. Is there one moment you remember that's good or bad that you always carry with you about the chorus of Westerly? It's such a big part of the community here in South County and beyond. I know that there's a lot of people out there who have their own moments with their families or themselves at a concert, but we like to hear from the people who are actually in the chorus and hear about moments they may have had that they carry with them.
Probably the most, I guess, poignant memory that I have is that very first year. So I'm only child of a single mother and never really had a father figure. And that first year, I kind of grabbed onto George Kent as being a father figure, and still to this day have that quite to some extent. But the first concert was actually on my 13th birthday. So I was late. I didn't start at 8 years old like a lot of people did in the chorus. I started when I was 12. And it just happened to be that that very first concert of the Vaughan Williams Hodier was on my 13th birthday. And I can remember being there for rehearsal and having 200 people, this wonderful community that I had just gotten to know, but already I felt like such an important, you know, was such an important part of my life and was already family to me. Singing happy birthday to me. And there's nothing quite like 200 people singing happy birthday to you as a 13-year-old. I just felt loved and cared for, and it was something that I never wanted to get away from.
Before we finish up the program, we're going to hear from the chorus one more time with one of their favorite songs, Ride the Chariot, arranged by William Smith with soloist Eden Castile.
Ride!
I want to thank you for being part of this special 4th of July on WCRI featuring the Chorus of Westerly. We really appreciate it here at the Classical Station. We're a small company, a small group, and to have your support means the world to us. Of course, we can't ask for donations because we are a commercial station, so as always, we ask you to go out and tell the sponsors you hear on this station that you're glad they are advertising here and that you would like them to keep advertising to keep classical music and local arts programming alive in this area. And with that, I need to mention our sponsors one more time to give them a big thank you. Feet First, Zero Wampum, Providence Performing Arts Center, South County Hospital, A&B Family Appliances, All Outdoors Power Equipment, and Narragansett Pest Control, and Warehouse Beer, Wine, and Liquor. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Ryan Saunders and Andrew Howell for allowing me into their home for a little bit to interview the chorus, and just to thank the Chorus of Westerly as a whole. It's a great, great thing we have here in this community and something we can't get anywhere else. Have a great 4th of July weekend, everybody. Enjoy yourselves, be safe, and until next time, I'm Jamie Jones on Classical 95.9 FM WCRI.